Thank you for tuning in to the Ultimate Coach Podcast, a companion to the transformative book, The Ultimate Coach, written by Amy Hardison and Alan D. Thompson. Each conversation is designed to be a powerful wake-up call, reminding us of what's possible for you and your life. So if you're on a journey to expand your state of being, this podcast is for you.
Welcome to this exciting episode of the Ultimate Coach Podcast. My name is Ipek Williamson, and I'm your host on this episode. Today, we have the privilege of diving into the world of a truly remarkable individual, Sachin Sharma, also known as the Lemron Coach. In a world where it's all too common for people to live in quiet desperation, Sachin paves the way for creating the extraordinary as the new normal. His unique approach focuses not on the content of thoughts, but on changing one's relationship with thinking itself. With accomplishments ranging from overcoming mental illness without traditional therapy to creating sold-out business retreats and aiming for a generational impact, Sachin's journey is nothing short of inspirational. His forthcoming animated series promises to revolutionize how we treat mental illness. A man of profound declarations, Sachin lives his life as a testament to love, healing, and powerful coaching. Sachin, it's an honor to have you with us. Your journey and the impact you've created through your coaching and personal philosophy are incredibly inspiring. So thank you for being here with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for the generous introduction. This is what I dedicate my life to, and I was really excited to share more about it, especially after we spent some time together in Arizona. I'm really deeply moved by your commitment to the movement, and I really appreciate you having me as a guest.
Thank you so much. So, of course, I am very curious on your path to becoming the Lemron Coach. It's really fascinating. And I know what it is because I looked into it. But for the ones who are hearing it for the first time, would you please explain what is Lemron and who is a Lemron Coach?
Thank you. Yeah. So Lemron is the word normal spelled backwards, and it's for my whole life, people have told me I'm a very unorthodox character. I'm very original. And I get a lot of it from my dad. If you ever meet my dad, it will explain a lot. So my mom used to say, like, this isn't normal and that isn't normal. And the way you do this isn't normal. And then my clients would say it to me. And over time, it became something that I started realizing, oh, like everything I resonate with is usually the opposite of what it's normally accepted or promoted as. So the Lemron Coach kind of came about as something I wanted to live into. And when I started using the term Lemron, my friends, my clients, my family, everyone was like, yes, that is definitely you. And I didn't make up the term Lemron. It's from, there's a rap group in Chicago. They started using it, and it's like a gang thing for them. I'm not affiliated with any gangs. I don't really want to be. So my way of using it is to flip something on its head. I'll have a very Lemron approach to mental health or growing a business, creating my animated series. Like, I have a very Lemron approach to how I want to live. And that governs a lot of my choices. And being a Lemron coach means I might take a very unorthodox or seemingly opposite approach to solving a problem or creating something than people might otherwise expect. So, I'm all about flipping paradigms. That's one of my favorite things to do. It's a lot of fun.
I love that. And it resonated with me so much because I remember myself when I was in high school and I was questioning the word normal. What is normal? Who decides what's normal? So your approach really is beautiful and very authentic. And not only that, very way ahead of many people's perspectives, visions. So I really appreciate that. So one thing that I'm really interested and curious about is the pivotal moment in your life that led you to embrace coaching, not just as a profession, but as a way of life. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, definitely. So 9 years ago in 2015, I started to redefine my life. The first thing I started with was, what's my definition of life? What does it mean to be alive? What does it mean to wake up every day and do, what are the things that you do? Like, how do you define the things that you do and that you don't do? Why, how? And as I started defining these things, I started realizing, oh, I just live a life of obligation, and that's not good enough for me. My definition of life is not like quietly hoping something changes, like you win the lottery and suddenly you're okay. That would be my idea of slavery or living in prison. And I did that for a long time. I feel like my mental health was at its all-time low in 2013, and I was in a very abusive relationship, and I was being drugged on a regular basis, and I was being abused physically, emotionally, sexually. I was going through the ringer. And you might be able to hear that I have a smile on my face. It's because I live my life by, I am that God has designed everything perfectly for me. So I started to define, how has that been designed for me so that I can have an amazing life? And the reason I was in that place with that person was because I was living according to all of this obligation. I hadn't defined anything for myself. And so I was living by other people's definition of what it means to be alive, to have a partner, to be successful. What does all that mean? So in 2015, I threw out all of the old definitions. And a big part of that was, I used to have hundreds of relatives, and I didn't feel like family was, you share the same surname as someone or the same blood as someone. I felt like family meant to me loyalty, and not like a blind loyalty either, but some people who want you, what's best for you. And I didn't have any of them around me except for my parents and my brother. So I removed everyone from my life except for my parents and my brother. And that was the turning point. But it took like a year to get there. I remember being scared of it, like, oh my God, am I really going to do that? Am I actually going to say goodbye to the way I've been living since I was born? And it was terrifying. Seeing people even said to me, you can't do that to family. Family's the only people who are ever going to be there for you and all of this other stuff. And because I was so scared, it took me a year. And then at the end, and when I made the decision and I pressed the reset button on my life, I quit the job I used to have. I stopped talking to everyone except for my parents and my brother and one or two friends. And me redefining my life was making a big commitment to leaving behind victimhood and really walking into creating my life. And those weren't the words I was using back then. It was just, I'm sick of this. I can't do it anymore. I need to go this way. That was when things really started to change. My mom and dad, we didn't have like an authentic relationship. I would wear the good son mask when I was at home with them. And outside of the house, I'd have Sachin. And that was one of the first things to go. I had a conversation with my mom and dad, and I said, hey, you guys are going to die at some point relatively soon. I'm sorry, it doesn't sound very fun. And before you die, I want us to have a great relationship. When you're dead, you might want to haunt me, and we'll come to that if we come to it. Yeah, you can tell me off after you're dead. But while you're alive, I want to have a good time. And I don't want us to hide stuff. You know, I really believe that secrets are what kills people. It's like the weight of secrets. I don't have that. I don't have like hidden things that no one knows about me. All of my dirt is on the internet. Cool. And that was like the shedding of an old me that didn't fit me and growing new skin that like I really wanted to live in. And that was like the beginning of all of this. During that time, my brother asked me a really important question. He said, if you didn't have to work, if you didn't have to ever think about it, what would you be doing? And the question was so beyond me, Ipek, I didn't even know what the hell he was talking about. I was like, huh? So he asked me again, if you never had to think about money, what would you be doing? And my brother was not very delicate with me, so he may or may not have slapped me on the head when he asked me. to wake me up. Yeah, I believe it was for my benefit. After a minute, I just thought, I'd love spending time with people. Just hearing about them and helping them in whatever way I can was one thing. But the real thing that I wanted to do with my life is be involved in creating stories. Stories saved my life. When I was younger, I was trying to kill myself. Every week, the only reason why I wasn't going through with it in a serious way was because of an animated TV show that I kept watching and thought, maybe next week they'll give us the answer to this question I've been asking. Oh my God, we're like 600 episodes in. Come on, let's go. It was something that was keeping me alive. And at the same time, it was embedded with lessons in commitment. Who do you need to be to unite your family? It was create yourself. You're not a result of your past. There was so many really divine messages in there that spoke to my soul. And I said to him, that's what I would be doing if I didn't ever have to think about any of this stuff. And he said, well, you know, that's possible for you. And he always thought, my brother's not a coach. And he's the best coach I've ever had. He has taken the strongest stand for me that anyone has ever taken. Same level that Steve took with me when we had all time together. It was incredible what I was able to see just in being confronted with, oh, that's my actual dream. This is how I actually live. They're very different people. So that year was a very pivotal year for me. And then I started looking in the direction of working on myself. I took a coach training in 2016. And then I coached 100 people for free in a 6-month period of time. And it changed everything for me. I was 24 when I did that. And just instantly, I knew, okay, this is something I'm going to be doing for a long time. And it was a conscious decision to commit to it. Instead of like, I'll try it out. It was, no, I'm going to do 100 to make sure that this isn't something I pick up, try for a bit, and then drop. I want this to be like a sacred commitment that I take. And after coaching those 100 people, a bunch of them said to me, hey, man, you got a gift for this. Can I pay you or whatever? But the real takeaway I got was, wow, like we're all way more similar than we think. And possibility is, I don't know, like it's not really spoken about in general conversation. And so when I spent dedicated time with these people, I really saw the value in that. And then I started hiring my own coaches. I guess we'd get way more into it. But that's like, that's a short version of the answer.
Yes, we will definitely. But, and I'm going to ask you about obviously your work with Steve Hardison. But before getting to that, in 2018, you cured yourself of mental illness without using traditional therapy or anything like that. So tell us a little bit about that journey and the role your unique mindset played in this achievement.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking. It's something that I'm super passionate about. So I used to wake up with like a knot in my throat, in my chest, in my stomach. You could say I was constantly nervous. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but if you speak with someone and they're not in the conversation with you, they're speaking very fast and they're not really responding to the questions you're asking. And it seems like they're in two different places at the same time. I was in 12 different places at the same time. So I was like barely functioning in this conversation. And then I'd be like in 7 years ago, in 3 years in the future, like what happened earlier today, I'd be all over. I couldn't pay attention. And people just told me, oh, you've got ADHD. I didn't even think it was a thing back then. But one, what was happening, like the symptoms I had, it was a lot of, I can't be present. I can't be still. I'm really unhappy most of the time. And I just pretty much hopeless. Like I'm not looking forward to anything. And I'm constantly looking for a way out. So I used to love smoking weed, marijuana. And I was not a very nice person to hang out with. I was very negative. And my sense of humor was a bit strange. Like I would find it funny to annoy people. And, you know, I was doing the best I could back then with whatever I had. And I had a really hard time sleeping. I'd love to sleep, but I'd find it really difficult to get to sleep. And I was constantly ruminating on the past, ruminating on things like just considering things that had happened over and over and over again and wondering constantly, what is wrong with me? And life is unfair and God hates me. This was a lot of my life growing up, my mental life. And it was the people around me just told me, oh, no, that stuff's normal. Like, this is life. That's why we drink. Ha, ha, ha. I didn't think it was good enough for me. And not in the sense of, like, I just thought that there was something else out there. So I went to therapy to see what is actually going on here. And the therapist did an assessment with me over like 6 to 8 weeks. And they said, okay, it sounds like you've got complex PTSD. It sounds like you've got borderline or bipolar disorder. It sounds like you've got chronic anxiety, fatigue, depression. They just started throwing a bunch of this stuff out there saying, it sounds like you've got these things. And I said, okay, that's cool. That didn't really mean much to me. What can I do about it? And they said, oh, like, we can give you a referral to join this group program, and then you can get medication if we feel like it's important, like that would help. And I said, will that cure it? And they said, well, we can't say that it will, and you can manage it. That's what we say. And I said, okay, well, the way I looked at it is, if at some point I didn't have these things and now I have them, I can go back to not having. That's just the way it made sense to me. I started looking in the direction of psychology, and it didn't feel very helpful at the time. I learned a lot, but they kept using the caveat, but there's still so much about the mind that we don't know. So it didn't seem like there was principles that applied to everyone. So I kind of felt like I was lacking in something. Then I went on to spirituality and religion and philosophy. So I started looking into the works of Kierkegaard, Nietzsche, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Jesus, the Buddha, Krishna, a bunch of religious figures, and then spiritual teachers. And I started noticing something that they were saying, which was, there's an illusion happening, and you're not who you think you are. You are so much greater than all of that. And I call it having a personality addiction. So I had a personality addiction to this version of Sachin, who I feel like he exists. Then when I started looking in the direction of, well, what is this illusion? Oh, that personality is just was made up. It's like if I said to you 68.5 is the ideal room temperature, I just made that up. It doesn't mean it's false. It doesn't mean it's true. It's just something I said. Maybe this is all of that too. And then I started looking into detachment and letting go. And what I started to arrive at was, all of this anxiety or this negative feeling is based on assumptions, and it's based on me being addicted to my past. I keep picking up the past and bringing it to here before I create. And as I practiced dropping it, a lot of this ill feeling went away, a lot of it. But then one big pivotal moment came when I spoke to one of my mentors, and he explained this scenario. So he spent 10 years in California prison. He was the head of the white gang in prison, and it's a very violent story, but I won't go into it. And he said there was only about 30 of them on the prison yard, and there was hundreds of the other races, and it's separated by race in California prison. And he said, because we had so few people on the yard with us, if something happened, we would be in trouble. So to keep our numbers up, we had what's called a no-hands policy on the yard, which means, if you got a problem with another white guy, you either stab him or you drop it. So you stop having a problem or you kill each other. Which one? And most of the time, 99% of the time, they're not willing to kill each other over it, so they dropped it. And that's what happened. Like, he said this to me. He's like, have a no hands policy with yourself and with your past and with the people that have hurt you. Like, he wasn't encouraging me to kill them, but he's like, you're not going to kill them, so just drop it. And this one piece of teaching really kicked me off the fence. You know, it stopped me from debating with myself. Am I going to try and get revenge? Am I going to go and work on this stuff? Or should I just drop it? The dropping it was very difficult in the beginning. And the more I dropped it, the more I walked into that, then coupled with what I was learning about religion, the more it just started falling away. It's like I was arguing with reality. I was arguing with God, like, oh, in your infinite divine wisdom, you don't know better than me in my pea-sized brain. So, you know, how dare you put these things in my path? These people are bad. They need to be punished. And, you know, my mentor just said, let God handle it and you carry on. These conversations didn't just, okay, yeah, I'm done. It was an accumulation of everything. I really believe, like, if someone wants something and they really commit to it, they can have it. And I wanted to be free. So I just kept choosing the freedom. I had lots of invitations to go back to the way I used to be. It's just like in The Matrix, the movie, you take the blue pill or the red pill. The blue pill, you go back to normal, you carry on. You try and forget about it. Take the red pill, you get to see how far the rabbit hole goes. And I believe you've got to take the red pill every single day. And that's kind of like with the decision I made, okay, keep taking this red pill every day. And that's what led to the freedom.
I so love this story, really, Sachin. It's very moving, inspiring. You can change it any moment. You can choose the red pill any moment and start then and there and drop. Let it be. Let it go.
I used to think that you're just born this way and that's it. Like, you just are. You just exist and done. Like, you're a fixed slab of metal, for example. In the recent years, what I've developed an understanding of is four words that I was using to fix my problems in place. So the four words are is, was, am, are. You know, four words. This was the best day of my life. I am an introvert. This is who I am. They are stupid. Now, like, these four things that we're casually using in conversation and the way we create the world, that's what I was just fixing things in place with these words and then wondering why I felt stuck. And as I've developed like an awareness around these words when I use them, is, was, am, are, like, they're just indicating where and when I'm fixing things in place. And do they serve me? Because I could fix something else then that serves me instead. For example, like, I've heard that mother-in-laws are some subspecies of human that just are difficult. They're just that way, you know, they're just terrible. Oh my God. Yet if I hung out, and I have done this, if I hung out with someone's mother-in-law, we'd be having a great time. We'd have a laugh and a joke about something. I'd probably ask you, what's your favorite food? Like, I'd find some way of connecting with you and having a good time. So she's not just difficult. And there's the same for me. Like, it's not just how I am. And then as I'm developing an understanding of that's an addiction and you can be different. Wow, like, the world just started to look totally different. And I never felt like I had a good skill for anything except for spending time with people and talking and like learning about people. And someone said to me when I was younger, you can't just talk and expect to be paid for it. It really like messed with me because I thought, well, what do people who run businesses do? They talk to people. What do people who do like make movies do? They talk to people. Interesting. It was just really like my mind was in the cooker. And when I came out of it, I was like, huh, I wonder what this like natural skill or gift in wanting to spend time with people, I wonder where that's going to take me. And fast forward 9 years, here we are.
Wonderful. And you are doing amazingly. But of course, now I want to ask you how your path crossed with Steve Hardison's.
Yeah. So I read about Steve in The Prosperous Coach in 2016. That really like opened my eyes. Like, oh my God, he coaches however the hell he wants. And I was talking with someone about this earlier today. Like, someone made up what the term coaching means. So why don't I just make up my own version? That sounds like fun. And I feel like Steve Chandler, Steve Hardison, Rich Lipman, they at that time, I really needed permission to just be my own coach. So that was the first time I'd heard about him. They kept calling him the ultimate coach. I was like, who the hell is this guy? Then, you know, a bit of time went past and then I hired my first business coach and he said, watch TBO, LIT, NFL. I started looking in the direction of my personal declarations. 2 years later, I lived in Mexico for that year, 2021. At the time, I remember sending Steve a message on Facebook and I said, hey, I got a question for you, bro. He said, yeah, sure. I said, why do you choose to do monogamy with your wife? And he said, well, that's a long answer and I'm not going to text you, but why don't you call me? I said, all right, cool. Called him and we spent 15 minutes on the phone. And after that conversation, I was no longer interested in polyamory, like having more than one partner. And it really changed my life. Like, it really flipped everything I thought about relationships and love on its head. And instantly as well, it wasn't like a short thing. It wasn't a long thing. It was quick. And then I was annoyed with him. I was like, hey, you ruined my fun. It was really important for me to reflect on it. So, you know, later on that year, I really thanked him. I said, by the way, man, we're going to be working together at some point, just so you know. He's like, all right, you might not want to do that, just so you know, it might be tough for you. And I said, oh, I'm getting myself ready for it. And then the following year, 2022, I met him at the Ultimate Experience. And we had a lot of interaction building up to that. It was a lot of fun. And after reading the book, man, like, I just had a big shift in who do I think I am? Who is Steve setting the example for me to be? What is that example that he's setting for me? I don't have to have his experiences to be able to create the way that he creates, but in my own way. And that was a real like eye-opener for me. So then I had my first Be With session with him at the end of 2022. And man, that was just like, it really cracked the lid off a lot of the stuff that I'd been telling myself. Steve makes things very simple. So we created something I could live into, was being the Conor McGregor of coaching. Conor McGregor is like the face of the fighting world. I don't have to be the face of the coaching world necessarily, but it's a way of being about you. And that was a lot of fun. Like, I picked that up and I ran with it, dude. I had so much fun with that. I started calling myself the Conor McGregor of coaching and just like really having fun with it. So that was 2022. And then the following year, we had the India event. Had a lot of fun there. When we were in India, I said, Steve, this is it. Like, I'm going to work with you this year. And he said, okay, great. And I said, I bet you hear that all the time, don't you? He didn't say yes, but he just smiled. I said, all right, cool. I'm serious. Like, I don't mess around when I say I want to do something. He said, okay, great. I look forward to it. A month later, I realized, like, I don't want this to just be a thing that's out there. Like, I'm going to do it. Gonna is one of the most dangerous guns in the world.
I love that.
The gunner gun kills more people and dreams than anything else does. So I sent him a down payment. It was like about 20-ish% of what we'd agreed to do in our agreement. When I sent the money, I was like, oh, this is happening now. Okay. You know, a lot of people have said becoming the person who can make the money to work with Steve is a big part of the growth that is necessary for actually being able to work with him. So that year, I was living in my dream apartment in downtown London, and I loved it. I had so much fun living there, and my clients coming to see me. It was just somewhere I wanted to live for my whole life. It's called Shoreditch in East London. It was so cool. Like, I felt like a grown up living there. And then, yeah, like, that year, so then I booked my Airbnb, I booked the car, I booked the flights. And as it was becoming more and more of a reality, I was like, oh my God, I'm actually going to be doing this. And then I got there in October. We had a weekly coaching session every week. And in total, we had about 20 sessions. And it was profound, man. Like, it's still paying off now, like, as in it's still impacting me. We created my document. We created a way of seeing myself, the world, and everyone around me in a really powerful way that supports where I'm going. Because, dude, like I told you with the animated series that my brother asked me, what would you be doing? I just thought that was like, you know, people have dreams, you know, like, people have dreams, wow. That was kind of my attitude towards some of this stuff. And I asked myself, well, what kind of coach would I be if I had that attitude to possibility? Like, I wouldn't hire me if I had that. No way would I. And that's why I said to Steve, like, this is really important to me. I want to be this guy. I want to have this. I don't want it to be a dream. I want it to be my reality. And the way he got excited about it was so fun. He was like, oh my God, that's so cool. You're going to be making movies. And I sat there like, it hasn't happened yet. He's like, to me, it has. And I was sitting there like, damn. And now looking back, like, that was only in October and we're in April now. And it's all like, I met the producer, things are happening, we're moving and we're working on the script. It's all unfolding and I'm not surprised. And I never thought I'd be able to say that without having to put on an act of arrogance or like, yeah, I'm the man. I'm not surprised. It's none of that. It's actually very simple. Like if you had milk in the fridge, you wouldn't be surprised when you open the door and got the milk out that it's in your hand. That's how this feels. Same with making more money. The same with my creating a relationship with my girlfriend, with my, making my dreams come true, creating the physique like the way I want to look. It's all the same thing. And that to me has been an incredible shift to have that. Things don't need to feel far away or difficult or longing to have it. It can just be as simple as I'm going to the fridge to get some milk.
So beautiful. And good thing you started talking about your animated series, because my next question to you is about that. As far as I know, they are aimed at changing the way we treat mental illness. So what is the ultimate goal of that project? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking. So as I told you a bit about my journey with mental health, I see that there's a lot of people looking for help, and the help that's out there at the moment is going to be helpful for some people. And what I want to give is going to be revolutionary to give you a different type of help. So I want this, I'm creating a film studio. The film studio, like you have Marvel Studios, we have Shift Happens Studios. Then we're going to be bringing conscious content creators from all over the world who want to tell stories that can change the way people think. So in, for example, with the series, embedding things in there that I've learned and shifts in my thinking that I've learned and shifts in other people's thinking that I've facilitated to give people an actual tangible shift every time they watch an episode, every time they watch a movie that we make. And anything that comes out of Shift Happens Studios is going to recalibrate someone's thought compass. So like you don't control your first thought, but you get to control your second thought about the first thought. So number one is out of your control. Number two, that's related to number one, that's in my control. Little things like that. A lot of people will never go to see a therapist or a coach or a mentor. A lot of people will never find out about Steve or the book or anything like this. But if they can watch something and it challenges their views on, oh, like maybe my dad can't annoy me. What if it's true that my feelings don't come from outside of me? What if it's true that I'm creating this sense of unease that I don't want to have? What if that is all true, then like, what can I do about it? Oh, like, I think I have the power to do anything I want. And I want to tell these stories, and I've got loads to tell. Like, there's some of them are like very far-fetched, wacky, crazy things. And some of them are a bit too close to home. They feel a bit too real that it's scary. And it's very, like, a lot of the art that I make is very dark. And it's not horror movie dark. It's human condition exploration that's dark, that's scary. You know, like we're capable of some very terrible things, but we're also capable of beautiful things. And I want to explore the entire spectrum of it. So with Shift Happens, we're creating a studio where, let's say someone in Germany says, hey, Sachin, I've got this story I want to tell. They can come to our studio. We've got expert coaches in-house to nurture that creative talent and make their story something that has personal development embedded into it, that when it's in the movie theater or it's on the streaming platform, people can watch it and discover something about themselves in it. This is one of my gifts with coaching. Like, I'll take your favorite movie and I'll make that your greatest tool for personal growth. So that every time you watch it, it will strip away negative patterns of thinking that you don't want and install great patterns of thinking that you want that will improve your athletic performance, your business performance. It'll bring you closer to yourself, your family, your religion, your God. This is what I can do with existing movies, what I can do with things that I create. That's what excites me a lot, is I've already been doing this with things that exist out there. When I give my own to the world, it's game on. It's like, you know, I can really do a lot with that. So the bigger vision for this is it's going to long outlive me. Like, I'm going to do my thing, and with the next generation, Shift Happens will be the hub of conscious content creation that's really got a hard-hitting message and will revolutionize the way we talk about treating a mental illness.
Wow, this is really exciting. I'm so looking forward to witness and watch it flourish. It will be amazing. I can't wait.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun already. And the thing about when I said it's not surprising, when I spoke to the producer and he was like, dude, I want to be involved. How do I get going? I think the old me before I had worked with Steve would have been like, oh my God, am I worthy? And instead of all of that, I was just like, I'm not surprised you'd like to be involved. It feels like there's a lot of synergy here. And sure, like, tell me, what do you think you can contribute? And it wasn't like a, let me see if you're right for this kind of, it was, I already had a feeling we were going to do it. So just talk to me a bit about what you want to contribute. And he did, and we got a lot of ideas underway. And it just felt very natural. It just felt like this was supposed to be what was happening, and we'll just get moving. And that's the thing that really excites me in a very relaxed way. Like, it doesn't feel like I'm having to push. It doesn't feel like there's tremendous amounts of effort involved. It is, I'm here for the unfolding of it. And I have this analogy, like, we're in the cosmic kitchen. God is the chef. The animated series is the dish. And I am the spatula or the whisk, you know, the wooden spoon. I've got a part to play in it, but it's not mine. That really, like, feels like I want to be the best wooden spoon I can be.
Oh, so beautiful. Well, now we come to the question that I ask everyone. So from the book, which one of the questions in the before you begin section of the book or on the back cover of the book you see is the one you need to focus on at this moment in time in your life?
Yeah, I think who would I need to be to really be at peace with who I am? Is a question that right now is that I'm going through a big transition in my business. So I've really enjoyed what I've created up till this point. And I've told you, like, what's coming next. It looks very different to running multiple events every year in Lamron, my coaching business. And I'm only interested in quantum leaps. I don't really like incremental growth. I just love massive leaps. But there's a lot that comes with that. Being really at peace with who I actually am. I was put here to tell these stories. I'm the story guy. Okay, apparently, cool. Like, if I'm really at peace with that, I'm going to make these quantum leaps with a lot of ease. And just marinating on this question really, like, settles me down to knowing that, hey, like, this is what we're here for. And I'm really practicing not being beholden to food, not being beholden to validation or money or anything, really. Like, I've changed my definitions of a lot of things so that it doesn't make sense to me to be beholden to these things. So something's got a hold on me. And that's when I'm really finding myself at peace with who I am. And who I am is extraordinary. The more I look into it, like, the way the path has been designed for me and where I'm headed and the things that make sense to me to jump onto next, the more at peace with that I become, the more of it I start to own, the more of it just kind of starts living through me. And then that's something that I never had before. I never had a sense of self-certainty that life is living through me. I've got places that it's going to take me to, and there's no pressure with that. It's not something I have to try and do. It's just there. So being at peace with who I really am is something extraordinary, and peace is one of the most underrated things in the world. I used to think, like, no, if I'm too at peace, I'm not going to want to do anything. And it's not true. Like, I'm at the most at peace. I get a lot done and it doesn't feel like I'm doing a lot, which is great.
And how liberating is that, isn't it, Sachin? It's liberating. It's so refreshing and you feel lighter, really.
And it's that wooden spoon thing again, like, I don't have to try and be more. I don't have to do all of that. That's exhausting. I'm just resting in, this is who I came here to be. God has designed this path for me. Okay, great. Like, I'll be the best wooden spoon I can be. I'm here to contribute to making amazing dishes like pancakes and, you know, chicken and rice or whatever. Like, but that's not me. Like, it just gives me a great sense of peace knowing that that's not mine. The stuff that comes out of me, I don't own things. I don't own people. I don't even this animated series. Like, it's going to long outlive me. The guy who made the anime that saved my life, I just get the sense from him. He's not attached to the world knowing his name. Sure, his name's on it and he's proud of what he's done. So don't make him more than a wooden spoon. And I really feel that there's a great sense of power in that. I can really give my best to the world if I know I'm not trying to be more than this. I'm just going to do the best wooden spoon stuff I can do.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. So now we come to the three rapid fire questions for you. Yes. So the first question, what is the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
I like the three M's, music, movement, and meditation. So I'll listen to some music, I'll move around, meditate on my document. But yeah, I'll recite my document and I'll have a line of my document to focus on for the day. And I'll go through it periodically. But that's generally what I do. The movement part is like, it could be messing around with my dogs. It could be stretching. It could be anything. The music part is I wake up to music. It's just one of my favorite things. And yeah, meditation doesn't always have to be sit down, close your eyes and be quiet. Sometimes it is that. I just think there's the active way of meditating on my document is you can speak it out. You can speak one line out. You can write it out. There's something about being with it consciously that really helps me to create myself.
Beautiful. So second question is about this year. By the end of 2024, what would be one thing that you want to achieve by the end of the year?
This is like, what things do I have in the fridge that I would want to put on the table? There's a lot of cool stuff happening in my fridge right now. I think like having our series in publication, like it being ready to put on distribution channels. I'm having a lot of fun, man. Like I think the main thing would be by the end of the year, I'm taking my Lamron intensive to lots of different locations. So July will be in New York. September will be in England again. October will be in California. Next year, I'm going to do parts of Asia. Like, I'm having a really fun time playing around with these things. So by the end of the year, I would like to have done everything I said I'm going to do. And we're already in the process of that. So there's nothing that stands out to me because it's already happening. My answer is just have had fun doing it, which I don't see. That's impossible for that to not be the case.
Creating all those things and just being in peace while doing that.
Yeah. There's more of what's happening now, really. Honestly, that's it. And have the health of my loved ones. That's all I wish for.
Lovely. And it's interesting that you mentioned your fridge because my third question is about one thing that you always have in your fridge. Something like, don't tell me milk or eggs, like something that is different or interesting.
All right. So anyone who I met in Arizona this year or last year, I cooked my famous Sachin's famous chicken for a bunch of people. And that is usually in my fridge. It's marinated in some secret spices that no one knows. I may or may not give the recipe out one day, but that's 9 days out of 10, you can find it in my fridge. I eat basically the same thing every day. Two of those chicken breasts, a steak, big bowl of salad, like that's generally most of the time what you'll find in my fridge. And pineapple is like oh my god man, this is one of my favorite things in the world. So chicken, pineapple, and steak you can definitely find in my fridge.
Okay, wonderful, thank you. So Sachin, it was lovely to talk to you, but before we let you go, I'm sure many of our listeners are eager to learn more about your work or perhaps reach out to you, find out about your upcoming events for your Lamron retreats. So how can they connect with you? How can they in contact with you?
Yeah, thank you. I love talking with people. The easiest place to get hold of me is Facebook. Put my profile link in here. It's just my name, Sachin Sharma. And Instagram, my profile is called Sachin's Insights. that we have a website, sachinsharma.coach. But yeah, I just like, I love hearing from people. And I do that thing where if you text me, I might just call you, because I prefer to call people that have random back and forth. And yeah, I specialize in helping people create an extraordinary life. If that's something that you want to look in the direction of, dude, we'll have the most fun doing that and in the most unexpected ways possible. Your favorite movie will become your guiding North Star that will bring you closer to all of that and help you live your dreams. If that's something you want to do, tell me what your favorite movie is. Even if you don't want to do that with me, tell me what your favorite movie is. I love movies. And if you love Mortal Kombat, tell me who your favorite character is and why. And we're going to have a massive discussion about that too. Thank you so much for having me, Ipek. This has been so much fun. And I want to echo what I said earlier. Your dedication to this is what had me reaching out to you and asking you if we could do this. You know, like, I have loved what I've seen coming out of the TUC group, and the way you're leading it really inspires me. Thank you.
No, thank you so much. Thank you, Sachin. I want to also express a heartfelt thank you for joining me on the Ultimate Coach podcast. Your story, insights, and the profound impact you're making not only enlighten our minds, but also touch our hearts deeply. So it's been an absolute pleasure having you here, sharing your wisdom and the beautiful essence of who you are. Listeners, don't forget to follow, share, and continue to engage with us for more inspiring conversations that challenge the norms and invite us into a world of endless possibilities. Sachin, thank you once again for being with us today. Peace and love to you and to all our listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If there's someone you know who could benefit from this conversation, please share this episode with them. Also, check out our website, beingmovement.com. You'll find valuable resources and links to connect to an engaging and wonderfully supportive community. Together, we can inspire and support each other on the path to a greater understanding of being. Until next time, take care and be kind to yourself.